This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's look at the Royals, though, because at this point, I think it's pretty certain, even when we had JJ on a week or so ago, what the roster is kind of what the roster is. Like, maybe there's, you know, they brought in a Stripling to a minor league contract, but Pretty much like the roster is what it is in terms of moves that could impact anything to start the season. Could they make a move in the season? Of course. And so when you think about what they accomplished, we knew going into this past offseason, there was less to do than a year ago, where they completely flipped that opening day roster. Thank goodness they did,
and the entire starting rotation was different.
So how would you judge this? And I'm judging them offseason wise, also based off of their peers in their own division, right? An AL Central that had three playoff teams, an AL Central that it sure looks like, and if you believe some of the projections out there, whether we're talking betting lines, whether we're talking the Pocota, whatever, right? This is a really, really close division again. It sure seems like. And so when I look at what the Royals did compared to other teams, well, thank goodness the Tigers did not get Alex Bregman, because otherwise I would say, well, the Tigers had the best offseason.
That would have scared me.
But they didn't, right? No. They didn't. The Minnesota Twins?
About the same.
Yeah. The White Sox, we don't really count. The Guardians, you know, they're going to get some guys healthier maybe to start the season. That was the big blow that they had to begin their campaign a year ago. But I think the Royals, other than, hey, did they address outfield? That is the one big thing. Other than that, I love that they brought back Michael Wacha. I obviously like the fact that I think they found a true leadoff hitter in Jonathan India. The one question that I had about the offseason, not whether or not pitching can hold up, that's separate. I'm talking about the offseason would just be, are they going to regret not addressing left field or center field?
They might, but I will say center field in particular is an interesting one, but I would also just tell you, market's never really good there. Finding a reliable center fielder is not an easy thing to obtain in Major League Baseball. And Kyle Isbell, for the, like, screw it, let's have one defensive side of the ball where the guy is a left-handed bat, produces okay. Isbell does the job for that, and I'm not here to really complain. Right field, maybe. I'd listen to right field and say, you are going to try a lot of different stuff here, and you're going to see if any of it sticks. And if it doesn't, how quickly are you willing to move on? The one argument I would make for them, because knowing what we know now, I would say that they are still a better team than they were last year. The rotation on paper is better. It's deeper than it was before. They didn't just give up. They had some of the moves they made last year, like Kyle Wright, which were long-term plays. I think Bubich, now that he's fully healthy, certainly increases
it. And that's the key, the innings for him, because there's no Brady Singer anymore.
Yeah, and they didn't let Lugo and Wacha and all those guys, the guys that anchored the entire thing, are back and in business. I understand they've lost Brady Singer, but because of the additional things, I think they're better there. And they are infinitely better in the bullpen. The one argument I'll make for right field is they tried to sign right field last year with a multi-year deal for Hunter Renfroe. Is it crazy to try one more year of Hunter Renfroe to see if that could still be a solution in right field? Truthfully, no. They gave him a multi-year contract for a reason. They thought they'd get multiple years out of production out of him for a reason. If it fails, that's the deadline. You know, your whole deadline is going to be based on the idea of, can you improve the outfield?
Right. The Kyle Isbell center field thing, defensively, I think we've seen what they're actually getting really good defense out of him. And I think it was Jake Eisenberg on the broadcast when we carried the first spring training game last Friday. And he said, this is about to be the fifth opening day for Kyle Isbell. One of it. Remember, initially he had it because of an injury. Isn't that nuts?
What?
Yeah, I believe I heard him correctly, that this is going to be the fifth opening day for Kyle Isbell. And if you remember, his first or second time there was an injury right before the season. And so it was kind of forced to happen. But since then, to his credit, this is about to be his fifth opening day. And that is crazy to think about. He's been part of this organization a lot longer than we think.
That sounds wrong.
I'm pretty sure I heard Jake Eisenberg correctly.
I mean, God,
he can text me and tell maybe I'm misquoting him. I'm 90% sure. He's like, yeah, it's about to be Kyle Isbell's fifth opening day. And I was like, what?
Like spring opening day or like opening day?
I think he meant opening day. So I took it as opening day.
Like as I start going through the stats, yeah. He was on the Royals for only 28 games. It was a short-lived 2021. But 2022, 2023, and 2024, he's been a member of the Royals. He's played around 100 games each of those three seasons, 136 last year, where I'll point out, Kyle Isbell has been a positive WAR player. Like, I get it. He doesn't get on base. He does not hit for average. But he plays. He can play center at Kauffman, which I think is not an undervalued trend. Like, congratulations, you can play center at Kauffman. A lot of people in the league can't do that. And he found a way to be a productive member of this team last year. Kyle Isbell's the kind of player where I think every year you kind of hope maybe you find an upgrade through your system and somebody who challenges him. But if he's your starting center fielder, you're not a playoff team because Kyle Isbell's on there. I think it's more about the corners. And I think some of this was like me going through the conversation and realizing with some people, which is how few power-hitting right fielders the Royals have had. Like, I'm interested to know with Jack Caglione, you know, right field for the same reasons, but, like, they have just been running out regular-ass dudes in right field forever. I think they were trying to remedy that a little bit with Hunter Renfro, but it's been more players like Nori Aoki or Paolo Orlando than, like, the guys who play right field in baseball that you know. Bryce Harper, Judge, like the guys who play that position hit for a ton of power because the corners are where they tend to get power in Major League Baseball, and the Royals haven't really explored that. That's the one glaring weakness. But just as long as Jonathan India is a qualified Major League level leadoff hitter, and his on-base percentage would have been best or second best in the Royals last year and would have been top 25 in baseball, just as long as he's that, they'll be okay offensively. Him, Bobby Wood Jr., Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino, like that offense can hit a little. Like, so I still think they have to win via pitching. Like, I still think that that's their path to winning.
It is.
And that's why they spend all their money in the bullpen.
It is. And the bullpen is the part that I think, you know, should be such a welcome sign for Royals fans at the beginning of the season, you know, because we know that was a huge talking point throughout. And until they acquired Urshag, it was a massive, massive problem for them. And then and when it mattered in September, they actually had really good performance out of the bullpen. But the Estevez signing kind of came out of nowhere for a lot of people once they realized they couldn't go and get the outfield help. So they said, let's allocate that money to the bullpen even more. And then I really want to see what Hunter Harvey is, because you know that at the time we thought that was going to be the big acquisition. Mm-hmm. And then he clearly wasn't healthy and right. I think he was overworked by the Nationals organization personally.
I think so too.
And so now,
which is something maybe you should have seen in fairness.
Sure,
but,
sure.
You know.
Now, the trade in how it's viewed is all going to be dependent on this year. Like last year, they didn't get anything out of him. They really got nothing. So what is he this year? Let's not forget how we felt about him at the time of the acquisition. He could end up being a huge piece in how Q can manage the back end of the bullpen. Because we know it will not just be one guy again.
Harvey Ursa,
that's not how these teams approach it anymore.
I mean, that's pretty. I mean, they have a chance to have I think Vern said top five, but I don't think that's out of the question. They
top
have a
five
chance
in the
to
AL.
Be top three or five bullpen, top 10 in baseball. Like that's not out of the question, especially because I think for the first time, probably since that draft, they have decided who is bullpen and who isn't. Like, for instance, Andy Rogers had sent out the thing that said, the Royals view Jonathan Bolin as a bullpen piece. And because of his additional options, he'll probably start in AAA and then work there. But he's a bullpen arm, right? Like, I think they've decided between, like, Bubich and Bolin and these other guys who belongs where. And last year was still on figuring some of that out. Like, they weren't sure who the starters were and who the bullpen guys were. And, they were hemming and hawing a little bit back and forth on some guys. And then they figured it out. as a result of that, some of these guys are going to just get to be bullpen arms from the very beginning, which will serve them a lot, I think, as we head into the season. Obviously, I'm excited. Royals baseball, once again, today on our sister station, 1660, to get a chance to hear them as well. I think it's Seth Lugo.
His spring training debut here in 2025.